And I do feel like the Lord has put a word on my heart for the service this morning. I'm not going to promise you all the things that my wife promised you. You know, after she got through, I was just going to go mic drop. That's it. We're good. But we'll see. We'll see what the Lord does. All right. If you would like to, share the reading of God's word with me, we're going to turn over to a passage of scripture that you may or may not have ever read. You may have read over it. But we're going to turn this morning to the book of Romans, chapter 16, verse number 13, and we're just going to read that one single verse. So Romans, chapter 16, verse number 13. Understand that the Apostle Paul is the one that is writing, and he is writing to the church in Rome. And he says in that 13th verse of the 16th chapter, he says, "Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine." And I'm going to stop reading right there today. I'm going to read another translation to you before we pray, and this is the God's Word translation of that same verse. Maybe you're reading another translation. The first time that I read it in the King James. But I'm going to read you the God's Word translation, and this is what it says there. "Greet Rufus, that outstanding Christian, and his mother, who also has been a mother to me." And now I will ask you to bow your heads. Let us pray. And let us go to the Lord and ask the Lord to bless his word this morning. Heavenly Father, I am grateful today for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that I sense in the house of God. As we have worshiped and as we have praised, we come to the reading and the ministry of your word. And Lord, I would pray that you would give me liberty in the house of God to speak what you have placed upon my heart. I would pray this morning, Lord, that I would be capable of ministering on every level where each one may receive what you would have to say. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would inspire my thoughts, that you would put your word in my mouth, and that you would let what comes forth from these lips of clay, let it come forth with anointing and with power. Let it lodge up in our hearts. I confess in my own ability, I am inadequate. Bless me with your anointing to be a blessing. Let Jesus Christ be glorified and exalted, and the people of God be edified. And with these things accomplished, Lord, we will give you the praise and the glory forever. And we ask it in the mighty and glorious name of Jesus. And everyone in agreement with that prayer said amen. So I want to title my message this morning, "A Memorial to an Unknown Mother." A memorial to an unknown mother. Paul says here in this scripture, "Be sure and greet Rufus." Now that's my own loose white translation. "Be sure and give Rufus a hey, how you doing, buddy? Give him a hello. That chosen man of God, that chosen, dedicated Christian soul, my dear brother Rufus, give him a hello and a hug. And be sure," excuse me, he says, "and be sure to salute his mother, the same lady that has been a mother to me over the years." Today is, of course, Mother's Day, and I will begin by saying that we want to recognize and honor and express our appreciation for all of our mothers who are not only here in our auditorium, but who are around the world. I would say this morning, thank God for moms. Can you say amen? Amen. Moms wear multiple hats. Moms are usually the ones who are called upon to doctor the scrapes and the bruises. I remember when I was a child and would get a cut or a scrape or a scratch, the thing to doctor it with back then was methylate. Hello? Some of you know what I'm talking about. And I knew it was going to hurt before it ever hurt. And I would tell Mama, please, blow on it, blow on it. When you put that stuff on there, blow on it, that'll help. And Mama always blowed on it. But mothers are usually the ones who are called to doctor the scrapes and the bruises. Moms are the ones that are called to nurse away our fevers and our fears. They are often the peacekeepers and the riot control counselors for sibling squabbles. They are the teachers and the taxi cab drivers and the birthday event coordinators. Moms are in charge of scary monster patrol. And moms must have a degree in reverse psychology and anger management and a degree in building forts out of blankets and the kitchen chairs. Can you say amen? Amen. If it were not for moms, dads could not say, go ask your mother. That is good preaching. If it were not for moms, dads could not ask that all-important question, where is your mother? Amen. That was always my escape. Go ask mom. Amen. Where is your mother? I told my wife many, many years ago, I told her, I said, honey, I don't know how you do it, and I adamantly confess, I don't want your job. Hello? Motherhood and fatherhood both. Parenting in general, I would just simply say, is not something for the faint of heart. Moms are often our first memories of what it means to be loved and to be nurtured, as she held us safely in her arms and sacrificed of herself to make sure and make certain that all of our needs were met. Moms were often our biggest cheerleaders, encouraging us and telling us that we did a great job, whether it was on a coloring book or whether it was learning to ride our first bicycle. Mom was there encouraging us on. And whether we realize it or not, moms know a great deal more than what we give them credit for. For example, a mom knows that when you hear a child flush the toilet and say, uh-oh, it's already too late. Mom knows that a 3-year-old toddler's voice is much louder than a restaurant full of 200 people. Mom knows that a small puddle is a small body of water that draws other small bodies that are wearing dry shoes. Mom knows that the top bunk is never where you put a little boy that's wearing Superman pajamas. Right? And mom also knows that there are two mysterious people living in the house at all times, somebody and nobody. Somebody did it and nobody knows who it was. But the greatest thing that I believe that every mother should know, the greatest thing that I believe that every mother should know is, Mom, you have been given a God-given gift of influence. You have been given a gift of influence in the lives of those that you mother. Moms have a great deal of influence. This past week, when God began to put this on my heart, I read an old Spanish proverb that said, an ounce of mom is worth a ton of priest. How true is that? Picasso, Pablo Picasso, is quoted as saying, "My mother said to me, if you become a soldier, you will be a general. If you become a monk, you will end up as the Pope." He said, "I became an artist and a painter, and I wound up as Picasso." What he was saying is that his mother had so greatly influenced him and inspired him that he believed that he could do anything. I said, "Mom, you have been given great influence over those that you mother." To one degree or another, I am certain that all of us sitting here in this building and listening on the internet, I believe that many of us have been inspired and influenced and touched by our mothers. And Mother's Day serves as a day that reminds us of their contribution. Every mother has power and influence, and they are in a unique position to share and impart unto us. They are in a unique position to instruct and impact our lives. Prayers are said, emotions are shared, examples are displayed, security is provided, skills and manners are taught, values and faith are transferred, and principles and expectations are conveyed. All through our life, a mother has a special sphere of influence. But I would submit to you this morning that you do not need to be a biological mom in order to be celebrated on Mother's Day. I said, I would submit to you that you do not need to be a biological mom in order to be celebrated on Mother's Day. What I mean this morning is that you do not have to be a biological mom in order to have influence. This morning, while we acknowledge and we recognize mothers who have suffered the physical pains and the physical joys of giving birth to a child, in some sense of the word, or in one sense of the word, every woman here this morning can share in what I call the quote-unquote mom influence. This past week, as the Lord brought me to this text, and I began to search for other things that I would preach or that I might preach, and the Lord just kept drawing me back to this particular text. He kept drawing me back to this particular verse. And he began to put this message upon my heart, and the Holy Spirit just brought to my mind the question, who qualifies as being a mother? Is it just the woman who gives birth? And I would submit to you this morning that the answer to that question is no, because in reality, there are many different kinds of mothers. Consider with me just a few. Yes, there are maternal mothers. There are those, of course, that have lent their own body to give life, and for 9 months they carried and they nurtured life within their womb. These are those that had to learn to deal with the hormones, their own hormones, being out of whack, and the morning sickness and the midnight cravings. They're those that suffered carrying child. While I was putting the notes together, I thought of my own wife when she was pregnant with our firstborn. And she said to me one night, "I am craving a peanut butter and dill pickle sandwich." I said, "Dear God, the woman that you have given me, the mother of my firstborn, is out of her mind. She's lost it. She's lost it." And you know, I went, "You know what, baby, it's all right if that's what you want." I grew up eating peanut butter and banana sandwiches. That's a Southern thing. But I had never heard of a peanut butter and dill pickle sandwich, and she made one and said, you try it. I tried it. I thought, oh my God, I'm pregnant too. It was pretty good. I liked it. Yes, there are maternal mothers that had the gut-wrenching pains of labor and the gut-wrenching pains of delivery. I often think of Carol Burnett. She said, if you want to know what childbirth pain feels like, reach down and grab your bottom lip and pull it over your head and multiply that pain by 10. I never tried it, but you got the point across. Can you say amen? So yes, we celebrate maternal mothers. Without maternal mothers, none of us would be here. Yes, we celebrate moms. Without them, we would not be here. But there are also stepmothers and adoptive mothers. These are the mothers who stepped up to the plate and took on the responsibility of raising someone else's child. These are the moms that saw a need in the life of a small child, and they took it upon themselves, and they determined within themselves that they would give of themselves, and they would put themselves out so that they could raise up that child. Thank God for stepmoms. Thank God for adoptive moms who take little children that have no mother, no father, and they take them into their home and they give them love and they give them, amen, the tender care of a mother. Thank God for stepmothers and thank God for adoptive moms. There are also single mothers who somehow find the strength day by day to put one foot in front of the other, and without the help or the support of a man in their life, amen, they pull double duty and endeavor to fulfill the role of both a mother and a father. Thank God for single moms. And then there are grandmothers. Of all that have had a profound effect in my life, aside from my own mother, of all the women in my life, my grandmother had the greatest effect upon who I am. Just the mention of her name and the prayers that she prayed and the memories that her and I shared and the times that I worked with her in the garden and watered her irises and her roses and the time that we spent on the porch snapping peas and snapping beans and picking black-eyed peas and all of those sorts. All of those things, all the things that we talked about, all of the things that she shared with me, all of the things that she imparted unto me, it's still with me. To this day, she had an enormous influence on my life. Several years ago, Cody and I had flew down to Dallas, Texas, and we had gone to go see a Dallas Cowboy football game. And there, just outside of Arlington, where the stadium was, there is this little family-owned restaurant called Babe's Chicken Dinner House. It's so good. And we were sitting in there, and the place where they had seated, each part or each section of the restaurant has kind of a different decor. And they had set us in a decor that reminded me of my grandparents' home. It was rustic and rural, countrified, simple, plain. Glass, big glass knobs on the doors and, you know, slatted stuff on the sides of the wall. And it put me in mind of sitting in my grandmother's home. We finished dinner and we had had a wonderful supper. The little waitress come around and said, are you interested in dessert? Normally I would have said, yes, I am, but I won't. That's an honest statement. Yes, I am very interested. But no, I won't. On this occasion, they had banana pudding on the menu, and I opted for a bowl of banana pudding. They brought the banana pudding, set it on the table. I took my first bite, and immediately I was transported from the flavors and the taste. It tasted just like my grandmother's banana pudding. And immediately I was transported in time, sitting at her table. Tears fill my eyes. I am choking back emotion. Cody looked at me and he said, "Dad, are you all right?" The waitress walked up and she said, "How's the pudding?" And here I am, a grown man, choking back my emotions and tears filling my eyes, and I'm trying to explain to them that it was the memory of my grandmother and not the pudding that made me cry. Grandmothers can have a very profound effect upon who we are. So understand this morning that there can be maternal mothers, stepmothers, adoptive mothers, single mothers, and grandmothers, and there is yet one other kind of mother that is here in our text. She is the kind of mother that we find here in the words of Paul. She is the substitute or the surrogate mother. In the 16th chapter of the book of Romans, Paul, the great apostle, is writing his final words to the Roman church. Understand that chapter 1 through chapter 15, he has written all of these great theological things to the church in Rome. And he comes to chapter 16 and he is about to say farewell. And many times, you know, when we read a patch of scripture that just has name after name after name, so often we just sort of pass over it, amen, and it just appears on the surface that it's nothing more than a list of names. But tucked away in this list of names, there is someone very special. He says, in that 16th chapter, salute or greet Phoebe, our sister in the Lord. Be sure and tell Priscilla and Aquila. Be sure and tell my fellow helpers in Christ Jesus who have for my own life laid down their own neck. He says, greet Mary who bestowed much labor upon us. Salute Juliet, Nereus, and his sister in Olympus, and all the saints that are with him. And right in the middle of all of this list of names, he says, and don't forget to greet Rufus, that chosen man of the Lord, and his mother and mine. His mother, who has been a mother to me as well. When I read that verse this last week, the Holy Spirit just moved upon my heart in such a fashion that I pray that I can explain it or impart it to you. But I fell in love with this verse because it shows that being a mother is more than just giving birth. It means that being a mother is more than just bearing a child, but motherhood is an act or an art of tender, loving care that only a woman can give. And this dear, godly mother in the Lord was a surrogate mom to the Apostle Paul. She was not only, amen, she was not his biological mother, but she took him under her wing and she cared for him as a spiritual son in the Lord. Paul calls her his mother, not literally, but in the Lord, no doubt. There were occasions in the life of Paul that he just needed a mother's care and a mother's concern. And when Paul needed a mother's comfort and a mother's care, she was there. When Paul needed a mother's presence and a mother's love, she made herself available. When Paul needed a mother's advice and insight, she was there. When Paul needed some consolation and some encouragement, she was there and stepped up to the plate, wrapped her arms around him, and embraced him as if he were her own child. When Paul needed that tender care that only a mother can give. He went to the mother of Rufus, and she behaved in such a manner. She presented herself in such a manner with love and with kindness and with her affection and her tenderness toward Paul that he considered her to be like his own mother. My message this morning is a memorial to a woman that we do not even know her name, but she used her quote unquote mom influence. Amen. My message this morning is about an unknown woman who took the Apostle Paul under her wing and became a surrogate mother and treated him as her own child. My message today is to an unknown woman who used her mom influence to not only influenced the life of Rufus, her natural born son, but she also used it, amen, to influence the life of one of the greatest apostles that ever walked the planet Earth, the Apostle Paul. And here's what I find interesting. We don't even know her name. We don't even know who she was. She is unknown. Her name is unknown. She reminds me of the soldier that is buried in the tomb of the unknown in Arlington, Virginia. In that, we know what she did. We know what she stood for. We know how she conducted herself, but we do not know who she was. Many years ago, I traveled the eastern part of the United States, and I had the privilege of standing at the tomb of the unknown soldier while they were changing the guard and all of their ceremonial reverence and all of that stuff. Amen. But we don't even know who is lying there. We know it was simply a soldier that sacrificed his life for us to have freedom. And this woman is unknown. Like that unknown soldier. There at the tomb of the unknown, we reverence that site and we respect that site, not because of just who the man was, but what he stood for and what he gave to us. And I got to thinking when I was putting my notes together, like the unknown soldier, we don't even know what this woman's name was. We don't know what how old she was. We don't know what her name was. We don't know much about her, but what we do know is that what she did in the life of Paul was absolutely unforgettable. Paul, in his greeting, reflects upon his friend Rufus. But he makes it clear from the text that he has not forgotten the kindness and the tender love and the care that Rufus's mother had provided to him. We don't know her name. Does it surprise you this morning? It kind of surprised me. I went digging, searching, looking, trying to find if I could find more about her. Does it surprise you this morning that a woman who would have such great influence in the life of such a great apostle is not named in the scripture? Her name is not omitted because she was unimportant. Her name is not omitted because she was a woman. There are other women mentioned by name in Romans chapter 16. But it is interesting to me that 2,000 years later, no one knows her name, and she played such a vital role in the life of such a prominent man. But if you will follow me for just a moment, for some reason her name is not recorded. All that we know is that she was like a loving mother toward Paul. And I got to thinking, as the Lord put this word into my heart, could it be? Could it be a silent message to us that mothers do not do what they do to receive recognition? Could it be because so much of what a mother does on a daily basis often goes unnoticed and unrecognized? Stop and think about it for a moment. If there is no recognitions, mothers still do what mothers do because that's what mothers do. Hello? Yes, a day of acknowledgement is nice, but a woman does not become a mother so that she can be recognized on Mother's Day. This woman not only shared her love and her kindness toward her son, but she wrapped her arms around others and used her influence to bless the kingdom of God. You may be thinking to yourself, why does Paul even write to Rufus or his mother? Let me share with you this morning just a little bit of history about this particular verse. Rufus is called chosen in the Lord, which means that Rufus had become a Christian. How did he become a follower of Christ? Scholars point to another verse in the scripture that also bears this same name. According to traditions, the book of Mark was written in the city of Rome, and many theologians believe that there is a link between the Rufus, the son of Simon who carried the cross of Jesus, and the Rufus that Paul greets here in the pages of the Roman text. If you will turn with me this morning over to the book of Mark, chapter 15, I want to show you something in the scripture. Mark chapter 15, verse number 21. This is at the crucifixion of Christ. The Bible said that they had beaten and they had scourged the Lord. They yanked his clothes off of him and put a purple robe upon him, mocking him. And they made him carry his own cross to a hill called Golgotha. But verse number 21 in the book of Mark says, and they compelled, the Roman soldiers compelled one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. Understand that it's clear from that verse that Simon had no interest in Christ. Understand that the scripture says that he was compelled to carry his cross. If he had been sympathetic toward Christ, he would have gladly taken upon himself to bear the cross. But they had to compel him. They had to force him. The Roman soldiers made him carry the cross. But I'm going to tell you something. It's also clear that when he carried that cross, amen, that experience had a profound impact upon his life. He watched the crucifixion of the Lord. And when you put the pieces together, it becomes obvious that when Simon returned home, he told his wife about Jesus the Christ. He told her about the crucifixion, and she both became godly men and women of the Lord. Simon tells his sons Alexandra and Rufus about what they had witnessed, and they too become Christians, and they became great believers in the first century church. So understand that one man influenced his family, and they became Christians. Amen. Simon and his wife had two children, Alexander and Rufus, and they became Christians. And this woman became a godly influence, not only in the life of her own children, but in the life of others around her. In other words, she took the love that she received by accepting Christ, and she passed that love and that affection on unto the children and to her children and to her spiritual children. If you are here this morning and you are the mother of a young child, I encourage you to share your mom influence. If you are a mother with grown children, share your mom influence. If you are a grandmother, share your mom influence. If you are a Christian woman who works with children, works with students, or even works with the elderly, you too can share your mom influence. If you are a Christian woman this morning, share your influence with those that are around you. Ladies, you need to know that you make a difference in the life of everyone you come in contact with. You need to know that you can make a difference in the lives of everyone in the realm of your influence. You need to know that every act of kindness and with every tender touch and with every encouraging word, you are making an impact on someone's eternal destination. Whether you are helping with homework, whether you are cooking a meal or changing the sheets or folding laundry or working 9 to 5 or teaching the Sunday school lesson, amen, every action you are doing, you have an influence upon someone's life. And you don't have to be a maternal mom to have that influence. You are impacting the lives that are around you. I ask you this morning, are you sharing your influence with others? Are you taking under your wing and sharing your love and your tender motherhood with others? Are you mentoring others along life's road? Every maternal mother, every stepmother, every adopted mother, single mother, grandmother, surrogate mother, spiritual mom, you can make a difference in the lives of those that are around you. You can share with them the love of Jesus Christ and impact their generation and generations that will follow. Look at the people that are around you this morning. Look at those who are in the sphere of your influence. Whether they are in a classroom, a boardroom, or a living room, or in the bedroom cleaning up the toys. Whether they're in the Sunday school or a daycare. No matter where they are, make a resolution this morning to continue to use the power that God has given you to influence others for the kingdom of God. Whether you're sharing a prayer and a scripture, whether you're sharing a testimony or a meal, whether you're sharing an encouraging word or a gentle correction, use your motherly influence to influence others for God. We celebrate motherhood. We celebrate mom influence. But I want to leave you this morning with this challenge. Every Christian mother, consider how you can influence others and their walk with God. And to think of every act of kindness and every act of care as an act of love toward the Lord. I'm going to close by reading Titus chapter 2, verse number 3 through verse number 5. And again, this is the Apostle Paul. This is what he says. He says, tell the older women. I want that to sink in for a moment. Tell the older women to live their lives in a way that shows they are dedicated to God. What he's saying is tell the older women, you can teach someone. You can have influence in someone's life. Tell the older women to live their lives in a way that shows that they are dedicated to God. Tell them not to be gossips or addicted to alcohol, but be examples of virtue. And he says, in this way, they will teach the younger women. You understand what he's saying? He said, listen, if you will tell the older women to be an example of modesty and godliness and not be gossipers or backbiters and all of that, if you'll tell the older women, the younger women will be influenced by that and they will follow their example. In this way, they will teach the younger women to show love to their husbands and their children, to use good judgment, and to be morally pure. He says, also tell them, tell the older women, tell them to teach young women by example, by influence. Tell them to teach young women to be homemakers, be kind, to, amen, place themselves under their husband's authority, that no one can speak evil of God's word. How did Paul know? How did Paul know that the older women could influence the younger women? How did Paul know that the older women could have such an impact upon the younger women's lives? I submit to you that he knew it to be true because he learned it from his spiritual mom. He saw her life. He saw her example. He saw the ways that she lived her life. May I submit to you this morning that we may not know her name, but we see the results of her influence in the life of Paul. Stop and think about that for a moment. We may not know her name, but we see her influence in the life of the Apostle Paul. This morning, every mother under the sound of my voice, whether you are a maternal mom, whether you are a stepmom, an adoptive mom, a single mom, a grandmother, a surrogate mom, a spiritual mom, every mother under the sound of my voice, you have a sphere of influence. Use that influence to direct others to Jesus Christ. Use that influence to direct others to Christ Jesus. This morning, to every mother, we say Happy Mother's Day. To those of you that have given birth this year to their first child, we celebrate with you. To those that have lost a child, we mourn with you. To those who are in the trenches with little ones every day and they wear the badge of food stains upon their clothes to prove it, we appreciate you. To those who experience loss through miscarriage, failed adoptions, or a child that has run away, we mourn with you. To those that walk the hard path of infertility, fraught with pokes, prods, and tears and disappointment, we walk with you. To those foster moms, mentor moms, and spiritual moms, we say, we need you. To those who have warm relationships with your children, we celebrate with you. To those that have disappointments, heartache, and distance with your child, we grieve with you. And to those that have lost their mothers and only the precious memories remain, we sorrow with you. We have some this morning that their children are growing and they're about to move on to college and become empty nesters. I say, we rejoice with you. You may not know it now, but you're going to love it. When my firstborn got married and moved out of the house and everything, you know, my wife and I were standing in the garage, and he had loaded stuff up in his truck, and he was moving, and my wife is, you know, wiping tears, and, you know, and saying, well, now, you know, you can always come home. And I'm like, did you forget anything? Be sure and get it on the first load. You don't want to have to make two trips, son. Here's what I'm going to close with. Mother's Day and mothering is not for the faint of heart. It brings with it challenges and blessings. It's not for the faint of heart. But I can also tell you from knowing family in this church, we have some real warriors here in our midst. I said, we have some real warriors here in our midst. I say this from the bottom of my heart. Mom, maternal moms, single moms, stepmoms, adoptive moms, spiritual moms, surrogate moms. I say this from the bottom of my heart. We love you. We need you. We treasure you. And God treasures you as well. Bow your heads if you would, please. I'm going to close. Happy Mother's Day to each one of you. Sweet Jesus, I have endeavored to minister what you have laid upon my spirit. I have endeavored to preach what you have laid upon my heart. Thank you for the anointing of your Holy Spirit that I felt. Lord, I pray that you will bless every mother in this house. Let us understand that the loving acts of kindness and the things that we do, they do not go unnoticed by heaven. They do not go unnoticed by our children. Bless their lives, I pray, this morning. Give them strength, peace. Give them joy in their spirit. Fill them with your holy presence this morning. Bless each one of our moms today, Lord. Touch their lives as they have touched ours. Help us to follow the example of Rufus's mother. What we do may go unnoticed. What we do may go unrecognized at times. But Lord, we will see the fruit of the labor in the generations that follow. Help us to take every opportunity and moment to impart and influence them in the right direction. I ask in Jesus' name, bless every mother here under the sound of my voice. Amen.